Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Joanna Pineda on the line. She's founder, CEO, and chief troublemaker over at Matrix Group. Joanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Oh, great my to be gosh. Here. So I was just saying kind of as we were warming up, I'm like, you know, I've been privileged to have you attend our Clubhouse events and our Twitter Spaces events and to get your insight. And I'm like, finally, we got some one-on-one time. I get to get you on here to do an interview so that our other audiences can benefit. So, hey, just want to say thank you for coming on.
Adam, thank you so much. You know, I'm enjoying the Clubhouse chats. I feel like every week you're kind of teasing out insights from the different people who are on, regardless of, you know, kind of what their position is, about the things on our mind, the things that we're thinking about, whether it's tech tools or, my God, are we, you know, entering a recession? So I appreciate them. Thank you so much.
Awesome. And so we got a lot to talk about today. Of course, I want to talk about Matrix Group. We'll talk about the upcoming book. Of course, I'm excited to get into that. But just to get us kicked off, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So Joanna, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Joanna, what mission matters to you?
You know, what matters to me, and you know, my coach calls it my true north, is really helping our clients figure out how to make the world a better place. So every organization has its mission, and they're trying to do good in the world, right? Whether it's like it's an association trying to help their members make money, or if it's a company that's trying to help its customers, they're trying to do some good in the world. And what we try and do is really help those clients create amazing customer journeys. Mm-hmm.
Love it. And we'll get into Matrix Group for sure, because I'm impressed with your work. And I want to get into how a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives watch this program. And we need your help. But let's talk a little bit. And I say a little bit because for all of the audience that are watching this, we're gonna talk a little bit about the book. But just to know, we will be bringing Joanna back onto the show so we can actually do a deep dive into the writing when the book's live, of course. But just to get us kicked off, like, what inspired your writing and your topic in the book, Joanna?
Well, first of all, it was a great opportunity to contribute to the book. Super, super excited. I think everybody wants to write a book, right?
Yeah.
And I actually have several book ideas, but it's been really hard to find the time to really execute on it. It was a nice way and kind of an easy way to say, look, I contributed to a book. So I was really honored to be asked to contribute to the book. And then in terms of the topic, I mean, Adam, you know, my chapter is really about how to create amazing customer journeys. And it's what I do all day long. You know, ultimately, when an organization calls and says, look, we've got trouble with whatever, our e-commerce isn't working, or people aren't signing up for our webinars, or we're not getting enough signups for our newsletters, these are customer journeys that somehow aren't working. And so what we do is we say, all right, well, let's define these journeys. Let's figure out where they're breaking down. Let's figure out where people are abandoning. Let's figure out how to get more people into the funnel. And how do we make the experience something where people go, oh, that was really easy. It was so easy to do business with this organization. And so that's really what inspired the chapter.
Can you, I don't want to assume that everybody understands this term, customer journey. I can say when I, like my background, so in finance, almost 14 years, I've been in media now 6, but before getting into media, I wasn't really aware of customer journey. I just thought, hey, I present something, I onboard clients, I have a product, I want to help, you know, that was where my heart was at, but I wasn't really thinking about it from I didn't have that marketer lens or thing built in the brain that makes you think about customer journey. So maybe define that just to get us kicked off.
Yes. So a customer journey is any flow or journey that your customers take, or that you want them to take, or that they want to take. So let's take, you said at the beginning of the show, Adam, you said, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, then head on over to missionmatters.com. So that journey starts with you making that announcement. And then it continues when someone goes to their URL or goes to their browser, types in the URL or Googles for it, right? Yeah. And then what do they see when they go there? And then is it easy for them to figure out on the website how to apply to be a guest on the show? Or do they have to, you know, hunt and peck because there's so much going on the website?
Yeah.
Is it easy for them to fill out the form or is it onerous? And once they hit that submit button, is it clear what's going to happen next? Or do they sit around waiting going, okay, I just submitted it. It just said, thank you, but I don't know what's going to happen. So for example, you might have a journey where I submit and then maybe the next day it'll say, hey, thanks for your submission. Adam is reviewing it. And then, and we'll be in touch in 3 days. And then in 3 days, there's something that says, you know, we've been delayed a little bit, but don't worry, we're still thinking about it. And then maybe the journey continues with, hey, congratulations. We want you to be on the show. So pick a time to meet, as opposed to maybe nothing happens, right? A terrible journey is when someone fills out the form and then nothing happens and they're left wondering what just happened. Or worse, they couldn't find the form. Or worse, they couldn't get through the form. So something as simple as that. So what we try and do is really map the journey. What is it that you want people to do? Map it, play undercover customer, and then say, gosh, where does this break down? Where do people feel like they're tearing their hair out and so they want to abandon? And for most of our clients, they're trying to get their customers to do something, to spend money with them, right? So I think what happens is we focus on the tech and we don't necessarily always focus on the journey or the user experience. And it sounds really simple when you think about it, right? But there's not enough time and energy, you know, spent really thinking about the journey. How do we get from email to website to e-commerce? How do we get from email to website to email sign-up form or shopping cart? And how do we get through the shopping cart when we don't have an account already? How do we get through the shopping cart when we get to the shopping cart and go, maybe I want something else? So all of those things matter.
I don't think it sounds easy at all. And I'll pick on myself here. Everything that you mentioned about that form, about what happens after and otherwise, me being a novice in the beginning of all of this and kind of figuring out decisions, I made every error you just said. So many years later, we've obviously have some things streamlined, and I'm not saying there's not opportunity, but I'm laughing to myself because I'm like, oh, how did you know I was going to make all those mistakes, Joanna?
Well, you know, Adam, my creative director, Alex, he talks about the brand, right? And clients are always saying, you know, I want to improve the brand experience. And ultimately, the brand experience is made up of every interaction that you have with your customers and potential customers and ancillary customers. Everything from how the phone is answered to how they find things on the website to how what happens when they apply for a job, what happens when they attend an event or when they visit your office, all of those things contribute to the brand. And we like to say that these user flows and these customer experiences or customer journeys are going to happen. The question is, are they happening by design? And are you being intentional with the kind of experience that you want people to have? So you know how like you go to some doctor's offices and you think that was really easy and great, and others where you think, good God, like I'm never coming back here again. Everything about this experience was terrible.
Oh my gosh. I don't want this next question to sound loaded because I know you're very technical and I know every business is going to be different, like in terms of size of company and, you know, founder, revenue, everything's going to be different. But maybe if we can keep it at the theme level, where do you find that many business owners kind of maybe have some opportunity areas in their customer journey?
So I'll tell you what I find is usually a place where what I call the customer journeys break down is when customers cross systems. So what'll happen is there's often a separate website or app or something where people have to convert. They go and remember that I focus on digital journeys, right? Yeah. Not so much in person, digital journeys. So what happens is in order to go from the website to the shopping cart, sometimes it's different systems, right? And what we find is when you cross systems is when the journeys break down. So what I recommend to my clients is let's take a look holistically at the journeys from the start of the journey on one system to the end of the journey in the other system, and then get those two parties talking. Say, let's look at this journey together. Let's figure out where this might be breaking down and can you help us make it better? So that's kind of a simple thing.
No, it's a great thing, and it's the process, and it matters. And the, what I like to say is that by when you go through processes like that, with whether it's customer journey or many other processes that need to be evaluated in any business, like there can be a light at the end of the road. Like if you get that, in this case, our example, if you get that customer journey correct, I mean, sometimes it's not a matter. You might find, you know, every time we've gotten it correct, I'll just again refer back to Mission Matters. Every time we've gotten something correct, it typically didn't cost as much to fix as we thought it would, number one. And number two, sometimes the lift that we got from solving that problem in our customer journey just way outsized it, the result that we thought we'd have. So to me, like, I'm just such a huge proponent of building a culture internally about of kind of making customer journey, no matter where you're at in the organization, from the top to, you know, every other individual that's involved, for everybody to be thinking about the customer journey in all of their departments or processes. So as it relates to maybe like culture and overall and thinking about a customer journey, is there anything that things that you've seen that that maybe some organizations do well that you've just kind of come across?
Yeah, in terms of journeys and culture, what I find is you have to think about your internal customers. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, culture is the flip side of brand, right? An organization that outwardly says, we care about the customers and we're warm and we're empathetic, but internally they're not any of those things, it's never going to ring true.
Never.
But if you have a culture that really is all of those things, eventually it's going to bleed through, even if you haven't been intentional with your marketing. Because what's going to happen is it's going to be obvious in the things that they build whenever somebody interacts with one of your staff, when they walk into your store, et cetera. So I think culture is really important. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I would say is, I think when I say think about your customer journeys, I actually also these days spend a lot of time thinking about the staff journeys. Mm-hmm. Because I have said since the very beginning, you know, of when I first created Matrix Group, mm-hmm. that the staff is just as important as the customer.
Oh, yeah.
And Adam, I've actually fired clients who were nothing but obnoxious and mean to my staff. Because I don't want to be working with those organizations. It's only happened a couple of times. But, and frankly, in that instance, I thought, my God, like, is it really worth keeping this client when I'm about to have a staff person, you know, quit on me? And the answer is it's never really worth it. So I say, as you're mapping your customer journeys, think about your staff as well. So think about, Adam, I was just at a conference on benefits communications, because I got a lot of clients in that space and we're talking about communications. And there was a session on the Great Resignation. And I thought, oh, yeah. So we talk about how do we make the staff journeys amazing, whether it's applying for a job, starting at the company, working there for the first 90 days, responding to a problem, reporting a problem, asking for specific, you know, kind of responsibilities, or maybe asking for specific types of projects and opportunities. What's that experience like? Mm-hmm. And how do you make it amazing so that your staff say, what a great place, and hopefully it never crosses their mind to leave?
Taking it from maybe another angle, how do you get maybe like feedback, or how does the customer play in kind of helping you to determine what that journey should look like?
Ooh, that's a really, really good question. What we tell clients is anywhere in the journey, so say we're redesigning a big website, big one, right? 10,000 pages, which means there's all kinds of opportunities for people to get lost, right? Because usually with a website with 10,000 pages, it's probably for an organization. So like, say it's a trade association that's got lots of departments. They got three publications, one magazine, a convention, multiple events, you know, all that, white papers, they do government affairs, et cetera. So just plenty of opportunities to get lost.
Yeah.
So what we say is, let's come up with the 10 most important journeys, and then let's invite some representative people to actually go on those journeys. And Adam, what we do, I love it. It's, we call them think out loud sessions, where we'll, Adam, you might be one, and we'll say, Adam, we're going to put you in front of a computer and it'll be over Zoom or something. And we'll say, here are the 10 things we want you to do. We won't talk to you. We just are going to tell you that, hey, you need to sign up. You need to create a profile. You need to make a donation. You need to purchase something from the store. And as you're doing it, we want you to think, talk out loud. We want you to think out loud. Why did you go to the search? Why did you go to this navigation? If you're lost, we want you to say, gosh, I'm kind of lost. Like, can't find what I'm looking for. So I'm going to go here. We record it. And Adam, this is often hair raising.
I can't even imagine what the response is. Like, as you're saying this, I have a little bit of chills going on because I'm like, whoa, like, I already know, like, some of the responses you must get must just be completely unexpected.
Sometimes we're sitting on our hands, right? Yeah. Because we'll say, we want you to register for the annual conference. Mm-hmm. And there'll be a big banner that says register for the annual conference. And the person says, wow, I got to register for the annual conference. I wonder if it's under events or let me search for annual conference. Or, oh, here's actually a crazy one. Hmm. We actually have a number of clients where their conference is actually colloquially called something else. Oh. So like the attendees call it something else. Mm-hmm. They call it the show, but it's really the convention.
Yeah.
And so what happens is people are looking for the convention or they're calling it the show. And so what we say is, hey, you know what? If colloquially, this is what people call it, that's what you got to make sure is actually available in the search. It's actually available in the navigation. And they'll say, but that's not what it's called. And we'll say, all right, well, unless you want to spend a pile of money educating people on what it's really called, and even then it's only going to reach 30% of the people, let's make it easy to find things. So those are some of the things that we do. The other thing is we spend a lot of time looking at the analytics. So I know I geek out on search analytics, and I say, you got to be looking at this thing once a month to see what people are looking for. Now, sometimes, Adam, people will search for things through the site search because they just, that's what they do. They don't even bother with the navigation. They just go straight to search. But other times, people will go to the site search because they've kind of given up. They can't find it any other way, so they'll go to site search. Regardless, you want to look at the site search because that is the clearest kind of indication of what people are looking for. And then you also look at the analytics to see what people are clicking on, where people are navigating. So those are just some simple things that we do. The Think Out Louds are a great way to see if your labeling, if your flows, if your navigation, if the organization and placement of the content is working, or the messaging.
And if somebody, so if somebody's watching this and they're thinking about like where to start, right? So if where does somebody start, whether it's their thought process, obviously at the end of this, I'm going to give you the opportunity to leave a contact information. So call Matrix Group, right? But I mean, like, where do you start? Because a lot of times when an organization's going, that's thinking about their website, especially let's talk about like that website, like, you know, 10,000 pages, like you're mentioning, like big organization,
right.
Like when they mentally or organizationally, I should say, are thinking about, okay, now we're going to do this. Like, where do you start?
So there's a couple of places where you start. The number one thing is try to identify who the target audiences are. And I'm not a big fan of clients saying our members or our customers, because that's too vague for me.
Yeah.
If somebody says, I am going after sheet metal contractors or general contractors, I'll say, okay, now let's be a little bit more specific. You're going after general contractors because you sell, you know, whatever, estimating services, or you sell, or you're a concrete, you know, subcontractor. So the question is, who's your audience? Is it the CEO? Is it the training guy, the safety guy, the purchasing guy, the the design guy? Who is it? Because it's going to be really different. And then we'll say, okay, so let's fit. And you're obviously going to have lots of different audiences.
Yeah.
And then we'll say, all right, now you, what do they want to do? So let's define the journey. Well, the concrete guy who wants the who wants to do business with the general contractor, or the general contractor who's looking for a concrete guy, what do they want them to be able to do? So what you do is you start mapping the journey. So let's say I sell dog treats, right? Or let's take an association, because I have a lot of experience with associations. It's a trade association, and one of their biggest conversions is register for the annual meeting. So that's a journey. Then maybe their other next big conversion is they want people to buy something from their store. The next thing is they want people to just read their legislative updates. Forget sending a letter to their congressman. Just read their ledge updates. And then maybe they want them to create a profile because they just need more people in their database. So we say come up with the 5, 8, 10 most important tasks or journeys that you want, and then do them yourself. and have three other people in the organization do those journeys and then be honest and say, was that wonderful and amazing or where did it fall short?
Yeah.
Something as simple as, is the search on your website working, can be really fraught. Actually, I'll give you an example. We had a client that said, gosh, we have people who complain all the time that they can't find anything. Turns out everyone complains about search. It's like, you know, everyone does. So what we found out was this was a scientific organization and they had the website and they had the journals. And the journals were with a third party and the journals had their own search. And the website was over here and it had its own search. So if you were over here and you were really looking for the content over here, there was no way in heck you were going to find it. But it wasn't obvious.
Yeah.
Right. So you either figure out how to make it really obvious on the website that, hey, if you're looking for content that might be in the journal, go here. Or, Adam, you figure out a way to make that site search both sites, if that makes sense. And obviously, technically, that's possible. It just takes time and effort.
Yeah.
So, but once we figured out, people kept saying, oh, we can't find anything. And we said, all right, give us examples of the things that you can't find. And so we go back to the client and we said, boy, they really aren't able to find that. And they said, oh, they're looking for the journal. They go over here. People don't know that.
Yeah. Oh, so we've covered, you know, when somebody starts. So let's say that they're, you know, obviously in the middle of the process. And I guess where I want to kind of speed up to is, you know, so a lot of these big initiatives sometimes don't maybe hit their goal. I don't want to say fail, but maybe some of them fail. But like, why do you find that big projects like this sometimes just don't hit their mark?
You know, that's a really good question. I think they don't hit their mark for a couple different reasons. One is project management has to be spot on.
Yeah.
You need people who at the beginning of the process are defining what needs to be done and have a really good idea of how to get it done. So when people say, you know, I'll tell my team, look, you need a timeline and you need a week by week timeline for what has to happen, because then you have a sense of like, are you behind or not?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. I think the second thing is that often these project plans don't include everything that need to be done. And I'll give you an example. If it's a client working with a vendor, the vendor is going to manage their own tasks. But really, we as vendors, we actually incorporate the client tasks into our timelines. Because say we're doing a website redesign. If we say, okay, client, you're in charge of the content and you're going to give everything to us by June 1st, but we haven't incorporated their tasks into our timeline, Adam, June 1st is going to come and it's going to go. And that content's not going to be ready.
Yeah.
And so in March, we need to be saying, how's that content? So that then we can have a conversation. They'll say, you know, it's really not coming along at all. And we'll say, all right, well, you know, we're launching in a couple months. So what can we do to work together?
Yeah.
That's the second thing. And then the third thing is, I think that people get blocked where they'll say, well, I'm stuck. And they don't have a way to figure out what the next action is. They'll just say, well, I've been waiting for feedback from my boss. Well, that you're stalled at that point. So you got to figure out a way to keep it moving. So those are the three things. And I'll tell you, in terms of just a website redesign, what we find is content often gets in the way of launches, because it's hard to think about the content and write all the new content and edit all the content that needs to be edited and produce the videos and the podcasts that need to go into the new website. And clients often really underestimate the amount of time that it takes to actually produce this content.
Yeah. And being a podcast producer, I'm on the same page with you on that one. get us the content. Come on.
Well, I think about this podcast, right? Yeah. So someone had to write it up. It had to be posted everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of work. And once this is done, there's edits and then it's got to be posted and then there's a transcript and then there's summary. Oh, yeah. So you, and probably in order to make it a well-oiled machine, you have a schedule and you know, day by day, week by week, who's going to be on and what has to happen. And then somebody's got to be making sure that those tasks are happening so that you know you're behind, instead of just saying, wow, that deadline just got blown.
Oh my gosh, Joanne, you just took me to our roots. I remember the first podcast, I was the one editing it. I would record it, then I'd edit it, then I'd do the distribution. It was a little side project. We'll just see what happens, right? Not a big part of the company's overall focus now. It'll be between 12 to 15 people that touch any given episode to do all the distribution. So I'm like,
well, no kidding.
Took me down project management, my project management history over there, reflection. So. So
how do they stay all coordinated so that
there's a hole on the back Monday.com and a whole lot of other individuals that have much more skill in this at this point than myself. In the beginning, we were just audio. We were just cleaning up the audio and taking out the ums and the ahs. It's already progressed past my skill level. And I just am fortunate just to be able to focus on our interviews like this. So
excellent.
So what type of, getting back to Matrix Group International, so what type of clients do you find get the most value out of working with you and your company? So you mentioned trade organizations, of course. Is there also like industries or niches, or is it a certain like size of company, or like give us a little bit of that flavor, please?
Yeah, so we have profiles. We like to say that organizations that are in pain are really good candidates.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they have something that they need to solve. If an organization has initiatives that are revenue generating or client facing, and there's problems, then often that's a good candidate for us, because one, there's really a lot of incentive to fix those problems. And when you fix those problems, then revenue is generated, and that's just a win-win for everybody. So we work with a lot of trade associations, a lot of professional societies, a lot of nonprofits, but also we work with private firms, and they tend to be private firms that have some kind of a lot of content that they're trying to produce and distribute, or they've got e-commerce and they really want to optimize their e-commerce flows.
Great. And if somebody's watching this and they want to learn more about Matrix Group International, like what's the best way for them to follow up with your team?
So you can go to the website, www.matrixgroup.net. Okay. Adam, I've been trying to get .com for a couple decades and that company's hanging on. So anyway, so you go to matrixgroup.net. I have a blog. You can find it on the website, and there's a way to get in touch with me personally. I'm on LinkedIn, Joanna Pineda. Yeah. And certainly, you know, you can get in touch with me, you know, through social, but really probably the website and on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. And so final question here, Joanna. I just have to ask, I mean, what's next? I mean, obviously, we're going to be publishing the book together. I can't wait to get you back on the show again and promote. But what's next? What's next for you? What's next for Matrix Group International?
Yeah. So what's next for us is, you know, during the pandemic, we have a virtual meeting platform. We didn't even talk about that. And so we spend a lot of time really thinking about how do you make virtual events really engaging? And I think we were very successful. Mm-hmm. And now that we're back to in-person, we've been thinking about how do you make, and again, attendee journeys. It's all mm-hmm. about the journeys, right? So we've been thinking about how do you take the learnings from the pandemic and the virtual and make in-person and hybrid events engaging. So that's one mm-hmm. thing that we're spending a lot of time working on and thinking about. We're also thinking about year-round education portals. So clients are saying, how do we make, you know, year-round education interesting? And mm-hmm. Adam, a big focus right now, and probably about to be even bigger, is micro learning and ongoing learning.
Oh, yeah.
Because we think that this next generation coming up is really much more attuned to micro learning. In fact, mm-hmm. we think they're really kind of rejecting the notion of hour-long continuing education. Mm-hmm. And yes, they might need it for their profession, but if they don't need it for their profession, mm-hmm. micro learning is surprisingly very effective, and people are really just gobbling it up.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of micro learning. I mean, I find it useful and helpful, and I just feel like I can think about, you know, back in my day when I was taking all these courses and everything else for whether it was for a certification or something else, and I can remember sitting in front of, and certain things obviously have to be in longer format, maybe like that's obvious, but like when micro learning can be effective, I'm just a huge fan.
Yeah, like absolutely. Bite-sized learning.
Yeah.
Because adult learners, you know, these days our attention span is actually mm-hmm. not that great. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just so distracted with everything. And micro learning actually sticks.
Yeah. Thank you. First off, Joanna, thank you for coming on the show. And I cannot wait till our next interview. We'll go further into your writing and all the other things we'll be promoting together. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot out of this. I sure did. If you did, this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging with our platform. We're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, you know, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and what we can all learn and gain from it so that we can all grow together. If that's the type of content that you're into or sounds interesting or fun or engaging, hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Joanna, again, until the next time, thanks again for coming on.
Yes, and I'll see you on Clubhouse tonight, or I'll hear you on Clubhouse tonight. Thank you all. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.